Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Rule 23F, an equitable tolling edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On November 27, 2018, the Supreme Court heard argument in Nutraceutical Corporation v. Lambert, a case considering whether Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 23F, which imposes a 14-day deadline for appealing from a grant or denial of class action certification, can be equitably tolled. Troy Lambert bought a dietary supplement that claimed to be an aphrodisiac containing sexual performance-enhancing herbs. He thereafter brought a class action in federal district court against the drug's manufacturer, Nutraceutical Corporation, alleging violations of U.S. Food and Drug Administration requirements and various California consumer protection statutes. The district court initially certified the class action, but following reassignment of the case to a new judge and discovery raising concerns about Lambert's class-wide damages model, Nutraceutical moved to decertify the class, and the district court granted the motion on February 20, 2015. On March 2nd, 10 days after the class had been decertified, Lambert informed the court that he intended to file a motion for reconsideration. The district court instructed him to file the motion within 10 days, which was 20 days in total from the original class decertification. Lambert moved for reconsideration on March 12th, with further evidence to support his full refund damages model. The district court denied his motion in June. 14 days later, Lambert filed a petition under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 23F for permission to appeal the district court's orders granting decertification and denying reconsideration to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit conditionally granted the petition, but instructed the parties to address whether it was timely. Under 23F, a petition for permission to appeal must be filed with the circuit clerk within 14 days after the order granting or denying class action certification was entered. Although Lambert's petition came within 14 days of denial of his motion for reconsideration, it was filed months after the actual order granting decertification. The Ninth Circuit held that Lambert's petition was nevertheless timely. Rule 23F is not jurisdictional, the court determined, and its deadline should be equitably tolled by a timely motion for reconsideration such as Lambert's. Reaching the merits, the Ninth Circuit then reversed and remanded, holding that the district court had abused its discretion in decertifying the claims. The United States Supreme Court, however, granted certiorari to address whether the Ninth Circuit erred when it held that equitable exceptions apply to mandatory claim processing rules, such as Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 23F, and can excuse a party's failure to file timely within the 14-day deadline, in conflict with the decisions of seven other circuit courts of appeals. And now, to discuss the case, we have Michael Morley, Assistant Professor of Law at Florida State University College of Law.
The Supreme Court has distinguished between two types of court deadlines. On the one hand, deadlines set by Congress are generally deemed jurisdictional and may neither be waived by the parties nor equitably tolled by courts without express statutory authorization. On the other hand, deadlines imposed by court rules are deemed mandatory claims processing rules and may be waived if a litigant does not raise a timely objection. On several occasions, however, the court has reserved the question of whether such mandatory claims processing rules are subject to equitable tolling. Nutraceutical Corp. v. Lambert appears to present a narrow question of whether the 14-day deadline for petitioning to appeal class certification rulings under Rule 23F may be altered, extended, or otherwise avoided. The ruling may have a broader impact, however, on non-jurisdictional deadlines throughout the federal rules. The case is almost certain to make history as the Supreme Court's first encounter with horny goat weed, a Chinese herb that allegedly aids the libido. And the oral argument managed to improve on these facts even further by repeatedly focusing on the jurisdictional consequences of a Martian invasion. I'll start by briefly sketching out the factual backdrop for these issues, analyze the oral argument, and conclude with some observations about the larger context in which this case is being decided. The plaintiff, Troy Lambert, brought a putative class action against Nutraceutical Corp. for allegedly violating California's false advertising and unfair competition laws based on its sales of Cobra Sexual Energy Pill, an alleged aphrodisiac derived from horny goatwood. The district court initially certified a class, but following discovery, decertified it. Lambert sought to challenge that decertification ruling. Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 23F establishes a 14-day window in which a litigant may file a petition with the circuit court for permission to take an interlocutory appeal from a district court ruling about class certification. That deadline expired on March 6, 2005. 4 days before the deadline, the parties had a status conference. The district court gave Lambert until March 12th, several days after the Rule 23F deadline for appeal, to file a motion for reconsideration of the decertification ruling with the district court itself. Lambert filed his reconsideration motion on the 12th, and the court denied it several months later. Lambert then filed a petition to appeal the decertification decision. The Ninth Circuit held his petition was timely and reversed the lower court's decertification ruling. It observed that Rule 23F is a non-jurisdictional claims processing rule. Although a timely filed motion for reconsideration within its 14-day window would have told the deadline, Lambert, with the district court's permission, had not filed one until after that deadline had expired. Rule 23F was also subject to equitable tolling, to which, under the circumstances of the case, the Ninth Circuit concluded Lambert was entitled. Ironically, in the Supreme Court, both sides relied heavily on arguments the Ninth Circuit did not address. Nutraceutical leans on Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 26B1, which specifies that the time for filing petitions for permission to appeal may not be extended. The Supreme Court has previously construed identical language in the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure as prohibiting equitable tolling. Several circuits have also held that Appellate Rule 26B1 precludes district courts from extending the deadline for a petition to appeal class certification rulings. On the other hand, Respondent Lambert claims that, since class certification rulings are immediately appealable, they qualify as judgments under Rule 54A, and the traditional common law rule provides that the deadline for appealing a judgment doesn't run until a timely filed motion for reconsideration has been denied. At oral argument, however, Justice Ginsburg rejected that contention out of hand because Rule 54A, she concluded, applies only to orders that are appealable as of right, and not rulings like class certification decisions for which a party must petition for leave to appeal. Turning to the argument, shortly after Nutraceuticals counsel rose to speak, Justice Ginsburg immediately jumped in to confirm whether both sides believed that a motion for reconsideration filed before Rule 23F's 14-day deadline expired would have tolled that deadline. When counsel agreed, Ginsburg followed up by asking whether that was a form of equitable tolling. Nutraceutical rejected that notion, calling such extensions a traditional and virtually unquestioned practice, totally distinct from equitable tolling and justified by entirely separate considerations. He also pointed out that reconsideration motions toll jurisdictional appellate deadlines, which indisputably are not subject to equitable tolling. Later in the argument, however, Justice Kavanaugh pushed back, arguing that because the rule itself does not permit such tolling, it must be equitable. Justice Breyer then attempted to push Nutraceuticals' argument to the limit, asking what would happen if a hurricane hit right before the deadline. Nutraceutical held firm, reiterating that mandatory claims processing rules may not be altered, even if they sometimes lead to harsh consequences. Justice Gorsuch turned to a subtle textual point, noting that Appellate Rule 26B expressly distinguishes between extending the time for performing an act and performing an act after the deadline expires. The rule says that a court may not extend the time to file a petition for permission to appeal. It is silent, however, about whether a court may allow such a petition to be filed after the deadline has elapsed. Justice Sotomayor joined in, pointing out that the Supreme Court will not extend the deadline for filing an amicus brief, but will accept late briefs. They pressed counsel to explain why the rule doesn't implicitly allow courts to accept late-filed petitions to appeal, and he seemed unable to explain this odd discrepancy in the text. This seems like a place where a thorough analysis of the rule's history and the Civil Rules Committee's proceedings where potentially even secondary sources, such as Wright and Miller or Moores, might have shed some light on the rule's meaning. Justice Breyer then asked about a different theory, whether the unique circumstances doctrine would allow Rule 23F's 14-day deadline to be tolled, and whether that constitutes a type of equitable tolling. Nutraceutical's attorney tried to avoid taking a position on whether a unique circumstances doctrine exists and remains good law, arguing that the case solely focuses on equitable tolling, but several justices continued to press him on the issue. Justice Alito pointed out that a unique circumstances doctrine would likely degenerate into general equitable tolling, but thought the court could try to limit it by renaming it the apocalyptic exception that would apply only in case of Martian invasion. Nutraceutical eventually reiterated its hard line, arguing that the Rule 23F deadline for petitioning to appeal is not subject to extension no matter what, pointing out that district courts may always revisit class certification decisions and that appellate review is always available after final judgment. Respondent Lambert's argument got off to a rocky start, with Justice Ginsburg decisively dismissing his argument that class certification rulings constitute judgments under Rule 54A. Chief Justice Roberts then stated that, even though the court is more carefully distinguishing now than in years past between jurisdictional rules and mandatory claims processing rules, it did not intend to suggest that deadlines of the latter sort are categorically subject to broad equitable tolling. After Lambert's counsel agreed that even non-jurisdictional rules could be subject to mandatory, non-waivable deadlines that cannot be extended, Justice Gorsuch sprung the trap, declaring that Rule 23F appears to be the paradigm case of a non-waivable deadline that is not subject to extension. Justice Breyer piled on, stating that even if the court were willing to recognize a unique circumstances exception for Justice Alito's Martian attacks, it would not be even remotely broad enough to apply to Lambert's case. There was no good reason he couldn't have appealed by Rule 23F's 14-day deadline, even if the district court allowed him to file a motion for reconsideration afterwards. Chief Justice Roberts, emphasizing the term unique, pointed out that since there have been many hurricanes and fires, even such natural disasters would not necessarily fall within a unique circumstances exception, although a Martian invasion would, he hastened to add, since one hasn't happened yet. Justice Kagan appeared to throw a lifeline to Lambert's besieged attorney by suggesting that unique doesn't really mean unique, but then cut it away by stating that the unique circumstances standard applies to situations where a district court itself misleads a litigant into missing a deadline, which did not happen here. Justice Kavanaugh and Chief Justice Roberts wholeheartedly agreed. Justice Kagan brought the argument to a close by telling Lambert that he's not excused from Rule 23F's 14-day deadline just because it seems to make more sense for the district court to adjudicate a motion for reconsideration first. She observed, "Not every rule we have makes perfect sense." Nutraceutical Corp. v. Lambert presents the classic rules versus standards quandary. At several points in the argument, the court recognized the advantages to a bright line, clear-cut, no-exceptions rule. Litigants could be certain about the deadline for appeal. Courts could avoid the unnecessary burden of litigating on a case-by-case basis whether a litigant was justified in missing a particular deadline. And the rules could be given a predictable, consistent, plain-meaning interpretation. On the other hand, as Justice Breyer pointed out, such inflexibility could cause unfairness to litigants who are misled by district courts or face natural disasters beyond their control. Nutraceutical also represents the latest in a line of cases in which the court is grappling with the consequences of its long overdue effort to establish clear-cut distinctions between jurisdictional rules on the one hand and non-jurisdictional mandatory claims processing rules on the other. In doing so, it is struggling with decades of precedent in which predecessor courts had been less than careful about which deadlines it labeled jurisdictional and the consequences of doing so. At a minimum, the Ninth Circuit's failure to engage with Appellate Rule 26 makes it unlikely the Supreme Court will simply affirm its reasoning. Based on oral argument, Respondent Lambert seems very unlikely to win and may not even attract any dissenting opinions. The one nagging weakness in Nutraceutical case, however, which is likely to bother the textualists on the court, is its failure to adequately explain Appellate Rule 26B, which appears to prohibit courts from extending the deadline for filing petitions to appeal while allowing them to accept petitions filed after the deadline. The court could reach a narrow unanimous opinion which dodges the main issue by simply holding that, even assuming Rule 23F's deadline is subject to equitable tolling or extension, Lambert would not qualify for it. This case presents a vehicle for the court to go further, however, by resolving whether non-jurisdictional claims processing rules are subject to equitable tolling, and if so, what that standard will be.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.